Well, good morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. We are continuing our study of the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, wherein Jesus Christ is by the apostle through the Spirit of God lifted out of the scriptures and put on display that through the word the hearing of God's word faith might come. Now, there may be some of you out there saying, Don, haven't we spent enough time in this Hebrews letter? I want to tell you, there are moments that I have the same feelings. But we're not finished yet. In fact, this morning, though last week we concentrated on the 34th verse of the 11th chapter, I want to go back this morning to the 32nd verse of this 11th chapter, wherein Paul says, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, and of the prophets. These fathers in Israel, how's it put it in the first? It says, God who at sundry times, the chapter 1 of Hebrews, God who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. I want to this morning go back and give an overview of one of the great prophets of God. Jesus, in his own words, could not pay a higher compliment to John the Baptist when he said that he came in the spirit of Elijah. Now, the Bible records two men who did not taste or experience physical death. We've spoken in this series of the other, that is Enoch. Of whom it is said that he pleased God, going back to the fifth verse of the 11th chapter, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for In other words, because before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. The other who tasted not death is this prophet Elijah. So open your Bibles today to the 17th chapter of 1 Kings, wherein we first encounter Elijah. And the chapter opens and it says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab," he was king of Israel, and an evil king he was, but king, absolute ruler, "said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Alternative is, "unless I first announced it." Second verse says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him," saying, that is, unto Elijah. Now this is interesting, because there's no record of God speaking to Elijah before he made this declaration before the king of Israel. There's, you know, it doesn't say, "And God said to Elijah, go tell Ahab, that there shall not be dew or rain these years." In the book of James, 5th chapter, 17th verse, it says, Elias, that's the Greek word, that's the Greek translation or word for Elijah. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. I want you to get that. Subject to like passions as we are. "And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months." This fills in the conjunction of that opening word of the 17th chapter, "and." He prayed. What did he base his prayer on? It says in Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter, 16th verse, "Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heavens, that there be no rain, that the land yield not her fruit, lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Elijah had been in the Word of God and found himself in a time when this evil king of Israel was leading, and his horrible wife, Jezebel, were leading the children of Israel into idolatry and serving and worshiping other gods. And Elijah found a word where God said that he would shut up the heavens and that there would be no rain. And he took God at his word and declared with his mouth the word of God before God ever spoke personally with Elijah. Last week, we taught on that state of mind, that state of being called an amen state, wherein there is no doubt. This activity of Elijah, which, you know, under normal circumstances, speaking such things to the king really meant his life. But he was so convinced that what God said he would do, he courageously called on God and declared that it shall not be dew nor rain these years. Unless Elijah first announced it. Here is an interesting phrase. We're going to encounter it. We encounter it in the 12th verse of this chapter, where it says, "As the Lord thy God liveth." We encounter it in the 18th chapter, the 10th verse, where another says, "As the Lord thy God liveth." One was in the 18th chapter, Obadiah, a priest. The other was the widow at Zarephath. They both use that phrase, "As the Lord thy God liveth." Elijah uses the phrase, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand." So, on about Tuesday of this week, there entered a phrase into my mind. In whose presence I am. This came at a time of prayer, came in a time of faith, and it just gave me an awful lot of peace. And I wanted the assurance of the phrase from the scriptures. And I began to search. And I searched in this one help, and then another, and then another, and then another, and I could not find the phrase, in whose presence I am. And it went on, actually, for a couple of days. And I asked friends, does it sound familiar? And it sounds familiar, but I can't place it, one said. And it sounds familiar. It sounds like something Paul might have said in one of his prison letters. And I went back and I searched and searched the Philippian letter and 2 Timothy, and I couldn't find it. And I searched and I searched. And finally, I came to this verse in 1 Kings 17, where it says, before whom, the translation says, before whom I stand. And it opened me up to teaching that I had received years ago from my pastor, Dr. Gene Scott. And as we go through it, I want you to understand, look at this guy's confidence. Look at this man's faith. This word, before whom I stand, the word before has in its root meaning in the Hebrew faces. And which indicates presence. The other folks who used as the Lord thy God liveth seem to kind of be a practice. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, God liveth. Yeah, God liveth. But Elijah was more aware of God's presence than any other reality. He was, if I may say, at this moment, in an amen state of mind. But James tells us that he was a man of like passions as we are. So, I hope in today's message that you might find some comfort in this overview of Elijah. You know, Elijah found this scripture out of Deuteronomy 11, and had the attitude, of giving not only glory, but honor to God, because God is looking for a people that care more about his honor than their own. His. presence before Ahab in the physical could cost him his life. Yet he had read, if they people started worshiping other gods, God would withhold the rain. This is all in this one little verse of the first verse of this 17th chapter. And then we go on and read, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith, before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have committed the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is, before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land." You know, Elijah was living in a desert place where water, for all intent and purposes, was life. And yet, he makes a declaration, no rain, because God had declared no rain on his people Israel, if they worshiped other gods. He really hung himself out, so to speak, to dry. And it says, and after a while, so now he gets a direct word from God, and God feeds him morning and evening by ravens. He drinks of the brook Cherith, and it says, and after a while the brook dried up. Oh, now what do I do? Because, you know, I declared no rain, and now here I am just hanging out, getting fed morning and evening, according to God's word, and now all of a sudden the brook, after a while the brook dried up. You know, I've been pretty comfortable here, God. The eighth verse says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, and dwell there. And behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." God, he acted on what he read in God's word. He did it without doubt, that because God had declared it, he repeated it, that there'd be no more rain. Then God took care of him for a while at this brook and fed him. And then God sends him to dwell there in Zarephath, whom he says he'll be sustained there by a widow woman. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and he came to the gate of the city, and behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. Put flesh and blood on this with me, folks. And he called her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I might drink." And as she was going to fetch it, she listened to God's man and his word. He called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "Practice, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, and we may eat and die." She was down to virtually nothing. She said, "In good practice, as the Lord your God liveth, but she didn't have any hope. "Oh yeah, 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 God liveth, but no hope." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, and make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." That's a pretty tough statement. Pretty tough statement. But he is now going not only to give instruction to this woman about who to take care of first, but he's going to give her hope. "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of the meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Enough bread for one meal, oil in a cruse for one meal, and then she's going to die. And in the margin it says, "and she and he and her house did eat many days." The margin, there's a note, a full year. Miracle provision. Jehovah Jireh, God provides. It may not look like it, as this widow perceived. But she listened to the man of faith and was sustained for a full year. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was sore, and there was no breath left in him. He was dead. And she said unto Elijah, "What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and slay my son?" God had so blessed her and her household for being obedient, for listening to the word from the prophet of God, that provision for one meal lasted a full year. And something bad happens. The death of her son, or something that seems to appear to be bad, happens. And she, rather than dwelling on God and his miraculous provision, immediately returns to say, is this happening to me because of my sins, when God picked her out of all of Israel to use her to demonstrate his grace, his bountiful provision, and because of this event, says, art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance? And he said unto her, give me your son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon this widow with whom I sojourn by slaying? Even Elijah gets into the act. This one who stood in an amen state of mind, who cared more about God's honor than his own, who made the proclamation, in whose presence I stand. Now, he's questioning. God, because of circumstance. And you can read the story in the next few verses. But it says in the 22nd verse, and the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now, by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. Think about this. Morsel of bread, drop of oil in the cruise was sustained for a full year because of the word that Elijah spoke unto her, gave her hope, experienced the hope manifest, and only after another miracle does she acknowledged, I know that thou art a man of God. And the word of the Lord is in your, and the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. This is a story, folks. Relating a journey of faith. It opens with a man in a amen, that is a no doubt state of mind, and he acted on that. Amen, based on God's word, and makes the declaration. And God responds and restrained the heavens from rain. And falls into a circumstance like in the 20th verse, where a little doubt enters in, talking of a woman who had miraculous provision, just enjoyed all the benefits. Something bad happens, and now all of a sudden, are my sins? Did she become more holy? In receiving God's provision? I don't think so. But let something bad happen, and all of a sudden, oh, did you come to call my sins to mind? You ever find yourself in that state? Oh, God, I know this negative circumstance, this circumstance that's contrary to your, the promise of your word, has come upon me because I sinned. I have. I've talked to some of the disciples, the hearers at the God School, and they've found themselves in similar circumstance. But men and women of faith don't stay there. And they get back to recognizing the truth of the Word of God. Now, you know, Elijah, in this amen state of God, wherein he says, before whom, or in whose presence I stand, makes the declaration from God's word that it's not going to rain. Right there, amen. Oh, Lord, he should have been delivered up as he was in a chariot of fire right then and there. But that's not what's reported of Elijah. God led him one step at a time. He led him to the brook. It dried up. He led him to the widow and was sustained for at least a full year. And we come in the 18th chapter. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Abraham, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was governor of his house. Now, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so, and now we get a little insight. It was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said to Obadiah, Go into the land unto all the fountains of water and in all the brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. He's watching out after the herds and not the people. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And Obadiah was in the way, when Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. And he knew him, that is, Obadiah knew him, and fell on his face and said, Thou, my Lord, Elijah? And he answered, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. Go tell Ahab, Elijah is here. And he said, now this was a guy of faith. He hid, well, we're going to hear more. He hid 100 of God's prophets. He was faithing. Now he gets instruction and he understands what the consequences might be. He says, What have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver your servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me, as the Lord thy God liveth? Here he goes again. Here's practice. There's no nation or kingdom whether my Lord has not sent to seek thee, Elijah. And when they said, He's not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and the nation that they found thee not. He made the people swear they didn't know where Elijah was. And now thou sayest, Go and tell my Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass as soon as I'm gone from thee that the Spirit of the Lord will carry thee whither I know not. And so when I am come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find me, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. He didn't add as Elijah added, in whose presence I stand, as the Lord had moved on Elijah. Was it not told my Lord? What? And now he's going to go in and complete that parenthesis in earlier verses. When I was told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100, he's given his testimony now, how I hid 100 of the Lord's prophets by 50 in the cave and fed them with bread and water. And now thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, go tell Ahab, behold, Elijah is here. and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, in whose presence I stand, I will surely show myself unto Ahab today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, are you the one troubling Israel? And Elijah responded, he says, I've not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and you have followed Balaam. And, you know, you should go and read the rest of this chapter, because it tells a wonderful story, key to the story. Elijah tells Ahab to gather all the people, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, and if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. We have a lot of two opinion peoples in this world. Who's God? Well, Elijah had no doubt who God was. And he's going to go on and through God and his spirit do miraculous things. Read the rest of the chapter. I have a note in my Bible from Dr. Scott's teaching on this. God wants us to make the decision for him. The God who created all things, not the God of this world, for this world will God eventually burn up and create all things new. We should put our confidence, our trust, our faith in God. God, Dr. Scott said once, is looking still for those people who trust more in the giver of the gifts instead of the gifts. Dr. Scott also made the comment, if you watch the steps that Elijah is being led by God, he leads him one step at a time. He didn't go from that amen state described in the 17th chapter of 1 Kings straight up, as I said earlier, into heaven, but continues, and in some of his journey, he falters. after this great victory God gives over the priests of Baal, the wife of Ahab just utters a simple word. And says in the 19th verse, the second or 19th chapter, second verse, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them, speaking of the priests that Elijah killed, by tomorrow about this time. When it says in the third verse, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. He didn't have a word from God to get to Beersheba. All of a sudden, circumstance gripped him. This evil, but nonetheless, in this world, powerful woman pronounced a death sentence on me. He said, oh, I got to save my life after all that God had done already for him. He, as James said, and you know, much as I dislike James' misquoting of Scripture, I'll grab hold of this all day long, that speaking of Elijah, he was a man of like passions as we are. We don't always walk in an amen state of mind. We are emptied, Dr. Scott said, from vessel to vessel, from strength to strength, from faith to faith. That phrase out of Romans 1:17, ek pistios eis piston. The first word translated faith being in the genitive, that gift of faith that God gives to every man. When we begin to generate that faith as Elijah did when he read that God would keep the rain if they worshiped other gods, and he stood upon that word. He stood as if, and in reality, was in the presence of the Lord. That faith generated. We see in his journey that faith seemed to wane. But faith to faith, piston, ek pistios eis piston, the word in the Greek is in what is called the accusative case. It describes something being done on the one generating faith. Folks, have the confidence of God's word, because when we are acting in faith, when we are generating faith, and even though circumstance might deter for a moment or two, it says, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. He was the great amener of all. Whoever had life in this flesh, take confidence in this. To those whom God chose, to those whom God gifted faith, we have the sure promise of God that our salvation rests upon the faith of Jesus Christ, the amen of Jesus Christ, the no doubt of Jesus Christ. Who finished his work. That is, by himself he purified us from our sins. And he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, who he is able to save to the uttermost, who is there making intercession where we fail to meet the mark. God, in Jesus Christ, will call every time that which is required for salvation to be completed, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all the faithing ones, properly translated. Unto all and upon all the faithing ones, properly translated. Romans 3:22. Elijah, a man of like passions as we are, by Jesus exalted, giving no higher praise than to say one came in the spirit of Elijah. He had faltering steps, but nonetheless led by God. You and I each day are being led by God. Take upon yourself the wonderful revelation and attitude as Elijah did, as the Lord God of Israel, as the Lord God of hosts liveth, in whose presence I stand. And that's the God School for today.